There is a very wonderful line in Savitri, which is full of wonderful lines. This transfiguration is earth's due to heaven. And then he says, a mutual debt binds earth to the supreme. There is a debt from both sides. And what is the debt? The debt is that, well, he assumes our mask of imperfection. In return, we have to grow into the divine perfection. That, incidentally, is the mystery also of the avatar, the divine taking a human form, or the sacrifice of the divine in matter. Different ways it is expressed in different cultures. And that is the God paying his debt side of the story. He becomes human. He suffers like human. As Shubhendu says, he has signed salvation's testament with his blood. The eternal suffers in a human form. And then he says, now is the debt paid, God's debt that he owes to earth and men. See, it's so interesting that this thing about the debt, the Vedas speak of three debts we all owe. We should not run away. Like thieves. So the first debt we owe is to Mother Earth. She has formed our bodies. So every time we use this body for things which are going to make this physical matter, physical consciousness, dirty, ugly, we are actually making things worse. So it's a debt. She has formed a body. Ours is a double birth. So the Earth has formed this body, and we must do something beautiful with the body as an instrument. Our speech should be an instrument of light. Our vision, we should see beautiful things in people. We should hear the beautiful, etc., etc. So these are ways by which we pay our debt to Earth. The way it is explained is different thing. The pandits always have their own way of explanation. But this is the debt we owe to matter, Earth. And the second debt is to the ancestors. So what have they done for us? They have not just left money. That's not the issue. But ancestors here refers to the labor of the mankind, those who have gone before us. And if we look at the entire history of creation and especially of earth, so many pralayas, men who have struggled and suffered and given their lives for something greater, dreaming of an ideal, they have died on the cross, on the scaffold, on the fire. When we look at these stories, why did they do it? So we owe something to them, and we need to continue that legacy. We inherit the legacy of human labor upon earth, and we should continue. That's a debt. They did this not so that we just enjoy life and throw it away. The third debt is the debt to the gods. So what do the gods do? They shape in us our beautiful parts. They inspire us with beautiful thoughts. They inspire us with will, which is moving in the right direction. They give us beautiful feelings from behind, nice suggestions, positive thoughts, hope. All these are things which are given by the gods. The powers, the cosmic powers, if you want to put it that way. And therefore, they must be used for something beautiful. Take, for instance, intellectual brilliance is a gift of the gods. Now, how do we use it? That's where our task lies. So we should pay back this debt by using these gifts in a most beautiful way to make not only our own life, but the life of earth more beautiful, at least a closer, nearer to the divine. And to all these debts, Shubhendu says, a mutual debt binds earth to the supreme. So as the story goes, that when the divine wanted, or the supreme as the sun, it's there in one of the Puranas, Surya Puran. So the sun says that, look, you have to go far away from me. You have to, you know, before the solar system is formed. So you have to go far away from me, but you will have a very special place. And there is a very special work that I want you to do. So she says, what do I have to do? Going far away from you is itself big enough. Problematic enough. So he says, no, you'll have to lose all this wealth. You have to be almost like a fallen being. So she asks only one assurance, that will you come? time to time and be with me. He says, yes, I will come. You will have a special place for me in my heart, and always I'll be with you. But this is a work you have to do. So the earth comes, and then time to time the divine comes as avatar. Now, mother says that earth has a special place. It's a special formation. It's very interesting when people spoke of the geocentric view. Now, they were not talking in terms of physical earth. Physical earth is obviously not the center. But if you look at it from one standpoint, it's the hub of evolution. I often use this term. It's the evolutionary laboratory of God. And now this laboratory has come in several places. Ashram is another laboratory, Auroville another laboratory. So they are evolutionary laboratories where some core processes are going on. So Earth is an evolutionary laboratory. Isn't it surprising that the chance formations through all these gases and nebula, life springs and begins to evolve upon Earth. So that's what originally it meant, that, well, Earth is the center. It never meant that it's the physical center or geographical center or whatever else. So this Earth destiny, whether we like it or not, is to evolve out of herself a greater being, because that's the right from the beginning. This has been the pact, and yes, she has been doing this effort and labor. 9 layers of evolution between the first humanoid type and what we call as present human, and all these efforts, the ice ages, the pralayas, all these are attempts to reach this point where the breakthrough can take place. So if you really look at this history of evolution from the Cro-Magnon or even earlier to the human, we can see very clearly that there is an effort going on in Earth to create something new, something better and better and better. Also, if you look at the, the saints, the mystics, so we may look at them as a freak phenomena. But equally, we can look at them as that the effort of the earth consciousness to break free something out of the mud wall, some glimpse of the light. So all of them were like prototypes. They were like, efforts to touch something greater than human life. And so many stories, countless. If you look at the life of mystics, suddenly it appears like a freak. And they are freaks in the sense that their followers are not able to touch what they touched. We may believe in them. The other day, I was reading life of this, other day means quite some time back, life of Neem Karoli Baba. He's near Nainital, Kaichi Dham. Now, you see his life, when you see the man was married and he was a saint, and there's quite a distance between where he lives and where his ashram is. And his wife didn't know that, he suddenly goes away and comes back suddenly. He said, this is not fair. You have to be around. But if the children fall sick, he says, when they fall sick, I will come. That's all. So every time he would come, and then he would go away. And the whole family didn't know till his death that he was a saint. And the people who revered him as a saint never knew he has a married life. And he was commuting. There are so many interesting stories. And they say that he was the one of the incarnations of Bajrang Bali. And there's he actually had stopped a whole train just like that. So there really went. So these many, many, many countless others, if you look into India's spiritual history. That's why India is the laboratory of the grand spiritual experiment. Every direction, every dimension, you name it. And I could go on and go on, because so many lives and has nourished us. So there is something happening upon earth. Why these creatures are coming? Who were they? And they came, they left a mark and went away. So they were all creating a dent, a possibility. But this possibility was individual. They had followers. They have plenty of followers. But you will see that hardly any follower is able to touch even a little bit of that. Now, Sri Aurobindo brings in this idea of the collective evolution, that these are a little bit of, starters in the race of God. They showed a possibility and kept the aspiration alive in the heart of earth. Mother, as Queen Hatshepsut, she, there's a sun temple where she writes the charter, And the charter of the Sun Temple or the edicts of the Sun Temple in Egypt are so similar to Auroville's charter. So someone asked the mother that, is it something similar? She said yes, because this had to be one day. So why did you give the charter then if it had to be happen now? She says to keep the memory and aspiration alive in the mind of the race. So this too has been a work to keep that memory. If I look at Ramayana, I see it as an evolutionary story from the ape kind to the human kind. And all these memories, all these efforts, attempts, we have inherited. We are lucky fellows in that sense. And now through all these, we have inherited, we have been also in that journey, if you take the idea of rebirth, and we have reached that grand point where now it's going to no more just an individual evolution with some followers, but a collective evolution. Means it will become a new principle, a new way of life, a new kind of humanity, which will go even greater than whatever has been the achievements of the past. So when somebody asked Sri Aurobindo, Dilip Kumar Roy, he said, someone has written a poem on you and I don't know whether to be happy about it or sad about it. The poem goes, "Hail, last Rishi." To Sri Aurobindo, he says, last Rishi. Rishi is wonderful that you are the culmination of Rishis. But last Rishi, there will be no Rishis after this. So he says, I don't know whether to be happy about the poem or to be sad. But I am sending you. So Sri Aurobindo reads it and he says, well, the person has got some hint. And in a sense, what's going to come now will be much greater. It will no more be rishis and sages and saints, but the Superman. So maybe he got a glimpse of what is going to come. But rishis are great, they have their own peaks. But what is going to come is something still greater. That's how Sri Aurobindo puts it. So what do we, in as early as 1909, and the mother and Sri Aurobindo came for this, and both of them were very aware of their mission, what they are going to do. And in 1909, when Sri Aurobindo was asked, what do you foresee of the world? Already people knew that, you know, during the freedom struggle, people intuitively sense that he is the avatar. And some saints had sensed it like that. They have written this. And they felt that this is not some another human being, another revolutionary leader. So in 1909, after he is, you know, steps out of the Alipur jail, some Tamil correspondent asked him, what do you foresee about the future? He says, there is going to be a lot of upheaval, revolutionary changes, and amidst all this, India will become free and the earth will move, humanity will move towards a greater future. Then in 1932, when he was asked about India by Nirodha, he says, two predictions he made. One is, independence, freedom of India is already settled, 1931-32. I am worried about what India will do with her freedom. Bolshevism, Gundaraj, things look ominous. 1932. At the same time, he also said, or rather wrote, the sun of India's destiny will rise and overflow India and overflow Asia and overflow the world. Now this also he has seen. He has seen the rise of Asia. He has seen the, the curve of evolution going down in Europe. But about America, the mother said something very interesting. She said, one of the things in the offing is the conversion of America. She spoke about America, India coming together as a necessity for the new world. So that's what I was sharing, and I can share that the new center at La Grasse. And I do feel that this center and the other end, Lodi Center, these are going to be those pillars which will open the doors to conversion of America. It's not just our center where people go and meditate. It's an action, and the sooner I pray, and openly I would say that, you know, if Sri Aurobindo's relics comes here, the better for the good of the world. So this is how the work will go on. So she has foreseen about India. She foresaw at one point that there could be an occupation of India again because it was not waking up. So she goes on to say, I don't want And then she says, who could occupy India again? Because she is seeing the Chinese invade India. This all before 60. And she says, the Americans may come in to prevent the Chinese. And it'll do good, but she says it's not good because, you know, 200 years of humiliation. Then she says, or the Russians may come in. But then she says, you know, they will gain nothing from each other because Russians are mystic by nature. But if Americans come, they will gain from each other. All this, and at the, you know, it's like the divine sitting in a boardroom with all the pieces and saying, should I do this? And then, you know, she says, no, this is not. So she ultimately shared this in the passing. Then she says, no, it will mean a long period of, she saw the Chinese coming in and she said, it's dangerous if they come into India. Because she saw this is going to, again, something like push the evolution clock backward. All this she has foreseen, the splitting of Pakistan into five parts, each part demanding its independence. So Tibet's freedom, which she spoke about, that will take a few hundred years, unless Tibet wakes up to the spiritual consciousness and the new consciousness. If that happens, it will be much faster. Otherwise, few hundred years. All this they have seen. They have not only seen, they have done it. That's how they know it. So when we read all that they have foreseen about the earth, it is so amazing. Now we can see little by little that certain things like splitting of Pakistan, problem of Tibet, some people may be aware that, you know, in 1962, one of the then Indian ambassador, and this story has been told to me by his confidant. So it's right from as good as the horse's mouth. And he was telling me that the ambassador told him that, you know, 62 India sent, asked him to ask help from Kennedy. And it was night and they met and he brought down the map and said, Where, how far have the Chinese come? So he said, sir, I have not been posted to Northeast. I don't quite know fully. And he called the CIA chief and he told where all they have come. So he said, you know, we'll help you because after all, you are a democracy. So he got help. But then the Chinese had come very far as Jorhat. I have been posted there, and then they suddenly went back. Mother was actively involved in pushing back the Chinese, just as she was involved in the 71 war. So, but the interesting part is that the then President Kennedy tells him, haven't you, you people didn't listen to that Indian who warned you against it? So he said, which Indian? He pulls out the book, The Human Cycle, and he reads out, threat to India from Red China via Tibet. And via Tibet is always the threat, but threat to India from Red China. He says, you people didn't, 2 years back he has warned you, now it was his time for surprise. He says, sir, but it's news to me, it's so wonderful, but actually it's not 2 years because he wrote this in 1949. He said, 49 he has foreseen and you people are sleeping. So Sri Aurobindo has foreseen so much, and it should not be that we are caught sleeping off guard. That, oh, he said all this and we just went back to life as usual. And many, many things which they have seen. So we may wonder that, yes, it is inevitable, fine, we agree. But is it imminent? Sri Aurobindo said it is imminent. And he spoke of few signs. One of them was that rise of men who wield great vital influence upon humanity. One of them was Hitler. Great vital influence. Who will move humanity, sway the masses. And we see still this kind of phenomena going on. You know, that's why people who sway the masses, we should not be necessarily very impressed by them. Because very often these are vital influences which are, masquerade as spiritual even. But that's not spiritual, it is something else. So that's the whole story. So then knowledge bursting beyond its seam. Mother also spoke of that, you know, right now there are plenty of people who are going mad. She spoke of, I believe in America, who are going mad. And then she says, it is good for the moment. Why it is good? They broke the patterns, all the patterns, because a new world, so there has to be clean ground. Now, we can't understand these things from a human mental perspective. Mind wants neat ways, but see, the Tandav and the Lasya goes together. Shiva Tandav, which breaks and new things come. So he says, right now it is good for the moment. Even you'll be surprised that when the Beatles, the rock music which came, and mother heard this and said, few of the notes are quite good. And then she says, use the term barbarians of the new world. It's like the early. So she was so actively, she could foresaw many things which were going to come up, and she has spoken about it. Another thing she spoke was youth unrest and women who will, she spoke about spiritual feminism way back, and she actually showed the way. And the way was in the ashram, that women with men in everything, sports, every which way. And this 1940s, and she, when the women in the ashram, 40s, okay, we have to go back then. They wore shorts and they came for the playground. They were, it was like unimaginable. And they were feeling very shy. And mother looks at one of them and says, oh, your legs are so beautiful. She felt even more shy, not knowing what to do. But then, that's how she started a movement. And boys and girls together learning fencing, judo, karate. It was not just something going on in the ashram. It was the prototype of a new creation where women and men will walk together. And when the first parade took place, I'm forgetting the year, where Abhay Singh, who was son of Prithvi Singh Nahar. Prithvi Singh Nahar is the person who typed Sri Aurobindo's manuscript. And he is very interesting story as an aside. So he was told that he will grow blind in 35 years, so by 35, because he had a retinal problem. And even now we don't have treatment for that kind of genetic disorder. Then there was no question. So he, mother gave him the task of typing out Sri Aurobindo's writing. He said, mother, I hope you know that, you know, my eyes are not going to sustain for long. She looked long, and then she said, nothing will happen. Then he went on till 70, 75. And he was an authority in reading Sri Aurobindo. When anybody had a doubt, the other day we were hearing such beautiful things about the archives that, you know. So anybody had a doubt, Prithvi Singh Nahar would be called those days. That, what do you think has Sri Aurobindo has written? And he would take that as close to his eyes. It was regarded as an authority. Such lovely story. So his son was Abhay Singh. And the other was Lighty. They walked together. You know, Lighty is, she used to live in Desiree. See, mother's ways. She gave Lighty a whole big house eventually in Desiree, where now all the elderly people are there. Now, why? It was not based on that. No, you 1 rupee is enough. Whereas to somebody else, she would give away some small room, will be fine. So she saw something else inside. And so her name Light was given by the mother. So when both of them walked, it's an amazing photograph. To Light, she had told, there is no man in this world who can marry you. Extremely beautiful. And if you look at Abhay Singh, extremely smart, and both of them walking. Now the local people didn't like it. They threw stones. So this thing was told to the mother, that woman walking with a man in pant and full pant and shirt. And they told this to mother. Mother said, ignore it, continue. She knew this will be the norm tomorrow. Do it what you will. So the new creation is done. That's how she says in 62. It is done, it is done, it is done. It is irreversible. We can either participate with it, we may resist it, we may have our own ideas, we may like it, we may not like it, doesn't matter. And I often give this story of Kurukshetra, that, you know, Sri Krishna reveals to few people, first in the sabha of the assembly of the Kuru clan, where five people see what's going to be the future. And then again on the battlefield to Arjun. And he speaks to Draupadi and tells him, this is what is going to be the future. Now he had destroyed an entire, it was not just people dying on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Some 18 millions, out of which 18 survived. But he was destroying a whole civilization which had plunged into darkness, Dharma Siglani, where people were using truth to further the cause of falsehood. This is what we see happening that time. So he was destroying a whole civilization which had gone this way. In the name of truth, it was perpetuating falsehood. And people liked it. They didn't like it. People cursed him. They said things to him. But Krishna is Krishna. The divine will does not think the way we human think. We are moved by pity. We are moved by ignorant ideas about life. We have a special natural sympathy for a humankind. But that's not how the divine sees. So one of the things that she foresaw about the future is something which is akin to, she has used the word like the last judgment, what it implies. And she saw that there is a whole humanity which will collapse. Almost a third of humanity which is going to go out of existence. And she says it's an aborted attempt to become human. So one remained a Rakshasa and the Asura with all the perversions inside, but it wore a human form because that's how nature does. She says this is going to collapse. We may like it, we may not like it. Divine doesn't consult us, fortunately, I would say. Otherwise, we would have our schemes. Let's say party all together. You say, no. Before the party, let me clear the ground. Then similarly, she said that there is a level of layer of humanity which is striving to become better. And that will be lifted into a higher humanity, which will then become the link between the animal and the higher kind. So one type of humanity, quite a considerable number, which will collapse. How, what, which way? Who knows? Anything. We don't know. And we should not worry about, because that's not our job description. Our job is new creation. She said there are immense forces of destruction and new creation operative right now. And she said that while they will do their job, it's, you should not worry about the destruction part, because they will do their job any which way. But there are very few who can become receptacles of the new creation. Who feel what is the new thing that must be created. That is where we should go. And as we are reading Debate of Death and Love, so there is the whole past, old consciousness. In many ways it will resist the process, but there is the new consciousness which will push forward. And this is where she described in the higher humanity, there would be people who are ready to, you know, become, ready to become, not become, ready to become intellectual disciples of Sri Aurobindo. In the morning we'll talk about it. Of course, he has used this word in another place also, intellectual disciples. But not yet, they are not yet ready for the new creation. So why? She says that they read, they appreciate, but they are not ready to pay the price. You know, it's not easy to cross over. So, but it's a beginning. So at least, you know, this will be a higher humanity, marked by a higher harmony, a more harmonious dealing. We can see this layer coming up in humanity itself. And then there are some who are ready to pay the price, who are ready to go through, mark her words, any amount of suffering to endure the passage. So it's not going to be easy. The Kurukshetra stands between one age and another. We just cannot help it, because there is much in creation that has to go. There will be so many new conflicts are coming up. And very often, as I was discussing with the lady yesterday, it is creating confusion in the minds of the youth. And she says the confusion is there to teach us. And people don't know which way to go. Thanks to now WhatsApp and podcast and everywhere, so many things are coming and flooding everybody. But she is carrying us. Then she says that this will be those who will be taken up in the new creation. How much time it will take? She spoke of several intermediary species. The Superman is the first major step. She says it's already there. Superman is a being who is transformed inside. I'm giving a very rough description. But the physical is still there, the same. So it is still prone to the certain things which come up as a result of atavism, of a human birth. But consciousness is changed. It is a being which is wide, benevolent, powerful. And it is acts like a mentor. It's a mentor consciousness. Like a guru, which will show the way to the transformation of the human body. He said that it will lead the way. So there is the Superman already amidst us, and she spoke about what this man will be. Shobhinder has spoken about this, you know, because we have these conceptions of Superman of two types. One is the Asuric Superman, the road that Ravan took, way above. People who are seeking for powers, for miracles. I will become a supramental being and I am going to, you know, this is dangerous. This is an Asuric approach and this will collapse. There is no shortcut. People who want to haste on the eternal's road. All this has been described beautifully in Savitri. That, you know, that is one approach with the restless titan's heart. But the other is slow and steady steps like the gods. The titan approaches in revolt, but the gods are not that way. Gods will veil themselves in the ordinary human clothing and they act. Their light acts. So that's how the gods, and that's another big description. So Superman is already there. There would be several other intermediate species, just like between the first prototype of human and our humanity. There were 9 layers. So there are going to be several layers. And she didn't use terms for them. She said intermediary species. And many of the youngsters that I see today, I have a term. People say millennial children. Now see, these terms have come up. Me, my generation, whether you understand it or not. And these children want more space suddenly. And parents are confused. We never asked space from our parents. They want more space. Knock before you enter, Dad. Imagine. You may not like it. So this is the generation. We may understand them, we may not understand them. But this is going to come. And I have a term for them is washout generations, which are nevertheless in the process of the new creation. So they will come and they will go. And of course, because of the rebirth, they will come back again. And each step will be a faltering step, a stumbling step. But eventually, these are the children who are the harbingers of the new creation. They don't understand the old. They have broken free. And we may lament about it. It doesn't matter. As I said, when Krishna decides Kurukshetra, you may cry your heart out. Dhritarashtra cried. Gandhari cried. She ends up cursing him. You could have left one child for me. I curse you. He says, I take the curse. Because curse became a boon. Because next plan of Krishna was to finish his own people. His own kul. Those who believed that they were Krishna, because they had become arrogant. And they also were gone. There is no, that moment it's not, oh, you are my people. My people, your people doesn't count when God acts amidst humanity. So this is how she spoke of several layers, Superman, the intermediary species, youth unrest, women coming up and, you know, shouldering men, not imitating men, because men are not worth imitating, you know. Please don't do this stupidity that men smoke and drink, therefore we too will smoke and drink. Are they are going in a ditch. Save them if you can. If you can't save them, don't imitate them. I keep saying men are men, not mankind wala men, but men are not very pleasant creatures. I'm not all men, but but generally speaking, so there is a true feminism. But what does the Asura do? He distorts everything that is true and gives it a twist. That's what also we see happening today. For instance, what did Hitler do? He distorted the word Arya. Then what did the British who came to India, what did they do? The Aryan invasion, they completely gave it a twist based on purely for political purposes. Now people have discovered the myth behind it, but that time it was believed. But Swami Vivekananda saw through it, Sri Aurobindo saw through it, Tilak almost saw through it, but they propagated. Hitler twisted the swastika. So we will see many such things happening today. The idea of freedom. Freedom is the most valid, a valid need for, it's a freedom to make your choices. But freedom is being distorted to mean I'll do whatever I feel like. I am a free person. You're a slave to desires. You like it or you don't like it. So this idea of freedom, even love, the angel from the far transcendent has been distorted. Now, you know, love is just sending a heart and you don't know how many hearts you're sending to whomever. And so many hearts. It's as simple as that. You don't have to feel anything. You just have to put a heart. And it's, oh, okay, good, good. Everything has become virtual. Virtual embrace, virtual hearts, all going around scattered. But this is a phase. We should not take these things so seriously. So if somebody sends you a heart, don't start feeling, oh my God, you know, he or she is in love. Please, for God's sake. It's just that moment's touch. So these things are happening today that even love has been distorted. But it will recover itself, because these are divine powers. You just can't. It doesn't mean that love is bad. It means that there will be effort to distort. These are divine powers, and divine powers, even if you put them in a prison, they will ultimately burst forth and express themselves. So this has also started. I know some such beautiful stories of even human love. She spoke about that. So all this we see, there is a play toward the future. This, you know, which is mother's own story. She has said, they have set the benchmark. So toward the future, how many have read the play? Anyone? So it's very fascinating. So I'll just give you a hint how she looks. So this is in volume 12. And toward the future is the title of the play, and it's about human relationship. So it's about a husband and wife, and then, you know, she discovers it's mother's own life. It's known at one level. So the husband is now, you know, feels drawn towards another. He is a painter, it's a life, and he feels drawn towards a clairvoyant lady. And when she comes and sees them, one day she comes home and sees them together. So now see toward the future. She says, I know, actually, I understand. So both of you be together, but make sure that you make your love beautiful. This is what she says. She says, just make sure that your love grows into something beautiful. And as for me, I understand that no human love can ever satisfy my quest. So I have to go further from the human to the divine. So beautifully, I mean, people experience so many things today. And this is a benchmark that you just... In fact, she says she is better suited for you. I understand this. Now, who can, you know, that heart, what it means to express it this way. So both levels you see, on one side, the peak of human love which sets the person free. That's what love at its ultimate is, to set the person free. And there is the expression of human love. But also she realizes that human love has limitations, and she moves toward the divine. Her other play also, The Great Secret, is where each one realizes their own limits in the field of business, in the field of science, in the field of education, and it's a beautiful play where people ultimately will end up discovering the new, because they will realize the limits. Now you see how consciousness studies came, because science is realizing, material science, that this is a limit. We want to understand now, there is something beyond it. Now, again, resisting the temptation of going into what all science, biology and all these fields are going into, but it's amazing, fascinating how they are realizing the limits, psychology realizing its limits, medicine realizing its limits. She has foreseen and given it in the form of a play. Business module, I must say that I was very happy to read that idea of business. Hasmukh Bhai, I did attend that lecture. I missed out on the yesterday's one. But to bring those core values into business, that's how it should be.
So there are these ideas which have gone into this world, and they are beginning to, somewhere or the other, however imperfectly, they are being attempted. And this is something so wonderful. So in the field of business, in the field of politics, it will happen. People will come up with new ideas. You have to just wait. So all the systems of parties, governance will slowly, economics, finances. So we can see that there are forces of new creation in music, dance, everywhere we do see these touches which are coming up. And then she also said there would be child prodigies. Now, which is another sign of the accelerated evolution. I don't follow the American TV, but I do sometimes watch Indian TV programs. And when I see the dance and singing programs of children, I don't know if any of you have watched 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old. This is mind-boggling. Tremendous energy, tremendous expression, what people would try several takes, retakes. These children do it so soon, almost effortlessly. In Olympics, you see the standards, the records. Every time we see some new record coming up. Because human consciousness is evolving, even at the most physical level, it's evolving at many levels. So there is a great, the future is imminent now. This imminent may take a few hundred years. So we get very disheartened. Oh, a few hundred years. Well, if you see the history of evolution from 6 pralayas and how many kalpas and manvantars, 300, 400 years, maybe nothing. I personally feel it may be much faster from what I observe. Now, problem is people keep seeing the other side. Oh, this is happening. Our phones are being tapped. Somebody is watching and listening. Hurry, let them listen. Someone told me, you know, even if you keep your phone off or something, you know, somebody is picking up and hearing. I said, what does it matter? I know this from the time I was courting my wife. So I used to call through, then there were no mobiles. So I was calling her through the Air Force line. So Air Force line will go through. Somebody, you know, there will be exchange operator. So I would talk to her for 45 minutes because free line. I'm an Air Force officer. She is an Air Force officer's daughter. So it was, we can talk. So there were no mobiles. So one day, one of the person who's exchange person, he is a corporal, he comes and tells me, sir, I must confess, I'm very sorry, but I couldn't resist hearing your conversation with madam. So I said, it's okay. I'm sure I didn't say anything which said, sir, aap kitni achhi baatein bolte hain. You know, sir, you say such lovely things. Sir, I can't help it. When you call madam, I'm supposed to connect and then disconnect, but I put it in here because you say such lovely things. Of course, poor girl must be getting bored hearing all that time about Superman. All that. I used to talk on the phone like a mad guy. See, equally mad you have to be to marry such a person. But this is how, you know, because it's a new, so it's okay what people are doing, it's their business. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about, oh, this leader has come. Plenty will come and go. But the new creation will march through everything. When mother was asked, do you foresee a third world war? She said, I don't foresee that, but you must remember, whatever will happen now, she was asked in 60s or maybe late 50s after the Panama crisis, I'm not sure, around that time. Panama crisis was 57. 61. So 57 also there was the Cuban Missile Crisis. So she said, whatever will happen, it will hasten us toward the new creation. What a grand assurance. She said, don't worry about it. Third World War, Iran nukes and their nukes and their, after all, some way these stones have to be found. She will figure out. That's how the Supreme Wisdom acts. So we think sometime that this will harm coming toward the end. See, sometimes we worry, oh, what if there is radiation fallout? Yes, radiation creates a lot of mutations. There is no doubt, dangerous mutation, sickness, everything.
ultraviolet, that layer, ozone layer, all this. We are trying to seal the layer, we are trying to do this, that. But who knows? And that I'll leave with a thought. I'll read some lines from Savitri after that. The thought is that when once in the plant world, too many trees, and they had a problem because carbon dioxide is becoming less. So they have a spirit of the trees met in a World Tree Conference. I don't know whether they held it in Africa or United States or India. And they discuss the future of the trees. CO2 has gone down. It's going down. What do we do? How do we manage? So, one group of trees said, let's pray. Some solution will come. What else we can do? And then the divine solution was very different. Animals came, which breathe oxygen and release carbon dioxide. A new balance and a new harmony is created. So we really don't know what's going to come up and in what way, but they have said so. The signs that they have given are slowly becoming evident. I have just shared some of them. There are plenty of others. And so it's an imminent future. We have only one choice, whether to jump into the boat or to ask the divine to give us a guarantee card, a brochure and all this. Then I'll decide to apply for the visa. Maybe the window will close. No more H-1B visa. Right now the window is open. And it's very interesting, this last experience of the mother, I'll close, that who will be taken up in the new creation? We think, oh, very religious person, oh, he's a saint, he will be picked up. Sri Aurobindo was asked, I wish men like what a disciples we are of what a guru, Nirodha writes. I wish you had people like Vivekananda following you. So Sri Aurobindo says, as to the disciples, I agree. And then he says, Kismat. But as to Vivekananda and his like, who knows whether they would agree for this yoga or not. And if they agreed, the ordinary humanity will not show up under the pressure of the transformation. And so we have a description of the mother's supramental boat. Noah's, the modern Noah's Ark. So, I think it's 3rd February, 57 experience, it recounted the boat you'll get. So, she has also the experience of the great flood, but I'm not talking of that, where she encounters that forces of destruction raging and then the boat is escaping it. But this one is very interesting, that there is a boat which is carrying 2 and 4 people from this side. This side means from the old creation to the new creation. And she says there are beings who are there to see if you are ready or not to cross over. So she, they don't ask anything. They don't ask your lineage, your bank balance, your antecedents, nothing, your religion, nothing. So they simply have their own X-ray vision, like a scanning. So she said they were just scanning them, what a divine scan. And she saw very interestingly that somewhere showing up shadows, somewhere having this orange light, some white light. And based on that, they were accepting and rejecting. And then she says, when I woke up and I realized that the criteria for which they were accepting was not moral, but psychological. And then she laughed. She said, I had an uncontrollable laughter for 2 hours. So she said, Mother, what do you mean now? The disciple is a little alarmed. Not moral criteria, but something else, psychological. What is that difference? So she says, what are the criteria which they didn't? She said, many values of the old world, the new creation does not care about them. She said, what values now? Little more. She says, for instance, certain ascetic practices to which there is so much importance given, that you wake up in the morning, then you take a bath and then you do this particular mantra. I met such people and they become so uncomfortable because they didn't have a bath. And they're traveling in the train with me. I told him that, why don't you, you know, take a bath? Train will stop in one. Swamiji, I said, you go on the station, take a bath. If the train goes, starts, I will pull the chain. Don't worry. And he said, no, I don't know. He was feeling hesitant. I said, take a bath in the bathroom. So he said, no, I don't know. It's dirty water. So I said, you are not doing your mantra because you can't take a bath. I said, isn't your mantra supposed to clean you? I couldn't help it. Our late Mohan Bhai was also traveling with me that time and we had a good laugh. We were traveling together in train. So this Swamiji was also coming, unfortunately, when we had a good laugh. So she said, all this has no meaning. So what will have a meaning? Which includes certain things like strict vegetarianism, this, that. Okay, you are vegetarian, it's good, it's healthy. But don't start associating it with God will be very happy. That is, God is happy with our aspiration. It's good, I'm a vegetarian from childhood. And I'm not only a vegetarian, I'm a pakka Indian vegetarian. So everybody knows, so poor Gita Di has to manufacture the lunch with all of them. So lovely, thank you so much. Because I can't eat pasta, salsa, noodles. So that's different. That's taste. That's tendency. But don't say, oh, see, I'm a pakka Indian food lover. Therefore, I must get a seat in heaven. That will be nonsense. So God doesn't care about that. Then she says something very interesting. So she is quiet after that. So disciple says, Mother, what else? Now what she says is a shocker. She says, for instance, things like sanctity of marriage. They won't ask us? No. So what is the criteria? We thought being virtuous is so good. Virtuous man has his seat already booked in heaven. Heaven, yes, but not in new creation. New creation goes beyond the heaven. So what is the criteria? She says, one is to be able to remain equal in all circumstances. Practice equanimity. One simple practice. Peace, calm, equanimity, like a mad person we should invoke. Calm, peace, equanimity, calm, peace, till it gets into the very bones. So if there is a accident, we don't rush to, oh, let me call 911. First thing is call peace. First thing is ma. Then you need nothing else. I used to teach this to my students in medicine, that first aid. So what you will do is stay quiet, call the divine, call peace, call equanimity, practice that. That's one thing. Second criteria, she said, wideness. New world and narrowness are not consistent with each other. So what will happen to the people who are rigidly narrow? Don't worry about them again. There is a divine plan in place. Probably they'll fight with each other. And narrowness and rigidity ultimately ends up fighting with each other. A person who is extremely narrow and rigid, even if you get him married to the same religion, same everything, same, will end up fighting with each other, because that's what narrowness and rigidity and fundamentalism does. You can't live together. By its very nature, it's inconsistent with survival and evolution. At some point, you will destroy each other. Anyways, we shouldn't worry about that. Divine is taking care of. Some people are very worried. Don't worry about it. You grow into wideness. Why I'm saying don't get too worried? Because when we try to do that, we many times start taking in the consciousness of the person whom we are trying to finish. So we end up becoming narrow bigots in our own right because we don't want these people. Leave them. There is a greater plan which will take care of it. So this is, she spoke of wideness. Now you see, world is moving towards that. You like it or not. So wideness. Second thing she said, third thing she said, it's plasticity. Plasticity is so important. Again, opposite of rigidity. So plasticity, and one area I admit I am not able to agree, plasticity is when I have to take a flight. I must reach before. So, but then, plasticity is important because that's how, you know, The supramental consciousness does not act according to a fixed, narrow formula. So the more the consciousness is supple, the more the mind is in a state of equanimity, the wider we are, the action will be much better. And if you can be completely still, ability to become still, still not stone-like stillness, but the sage-like stillness, then she says, I can transmit the supramental vibration very easily. That's how Pranabdha gave his formula. Stay quiet. This what, even for corona, this was the, when influenza epidemic took place in 40s. So Sri Aurobindo was asked what to do. And they were also vaccinating that time they started whatever vaccine. So he said, Sri Aurobindo says, is there a way that I can escape it? So they managed to get some people, certain number had to be vaccinated. So Sri Aurobindo says, sacrificed at the altar of the divine, these experimental people. He said about vaccination, it's a dark and dangerous principle for all its merits. It is a dark and dangerous principle. Now we are talking about it. So anyway, this was one part. So the formula he gave was, he said, don't worry. It was about influenza. This is also influenza virus. Huh? It's just that don't go by COVID-19 and all that. It's a influenza virus. It's the 49th strain. So that's a part. So he says, remain quiet. Call the mother. Turn your mind away from that old sticky stuff. And you'll be fine. So this was the treatment that he gave. And he says what this virus is. He says that, well, it consists of three things. There is a material substrate. And on that material substrate, what rides is an adverse formation. And what makes it really dangerous is the suggestion of fear. Because he says, gives a remedy, stay quiet. The quieter we are, the more the supermind will act within us. Any circumstance, any situation, and I know a number of people, just stay quiet. And in that quietude, pray to her, invoke her presence. And leave it at that. You have to take a decision. You're worried what may happen. Brainstorming. No, brain stilling. Stay quiet. And obviously we cannot do it if we have not practiced it otherwise. Suddenly, you know, we say, oh, I am supposed to be quiet. I can't be quiet. Oh my God, I am my God. I have to be quiet. Doesn't work like that. Unless that time the divine takes hold for some reason, then the whole consciousness becomes still. So quietude, equanimity, endurance, plasticity, whiteness, and always remaining open to the mother. This is the path of the supramental yoga. So beautifully, she has written to Champaklalji. He asked me, give me some program for sadhana. What did she say? Be simple. She said, intellectual people are the most difficult to convert. Because they are all, you know, and the pride and I know it all and, you know. So they have this whole idea about, you know, they don't understand sectarianism, fidelity, wideness. This is all confused. So, you know, wideness of the waste paper basket, not the wideness of the sky, which keeps everything in its right place. So she says they are the last people who will be converted. The intellectual types and especially those who work upon themselves a lot. It means you are not giving God a time and space. These are her words. Whereas there are others like flowers, they will open. So she said, be simple. Okay, we'll become simple. So what next? She says, be happy. Very difficult. Mother gave this to Dara. Mother, give me some work. She said, be happy. After 2 days, he says, Mother, give me some other work. Extremely difficult to be happy. We can be happy if we, really speaking, have trust in the divine grace. We need nothing to be happy except that faith and love. Actually, love gives us happiness. For anything, anyone, anywhere, love opens the doors to happiness. So be happy. Then she says, stay as quiet as you can. Okay? Difficult in today's world of television and mobiles, but okay, fine, we'll try. Then she said, do your work as well as you can. Whatever work, doesn't matter. It could be sweeping the floors, cooking the meal, eating, all these are works. Everything, walking, do your work as well you can. Walk consciously, eat consciously, basically do it well. And then finally she says, keep yourself always open towards me. That is all that is asked of you. Who said yoga is difficult? Of course, being simple and happy is difficult. It's not difficult because we can't understand. That's not true. It's difficult because we are knocking at the wrong door. The mind does not know and understand yoga. So we have to be simple, be quiet, remain happy, do your work as well as you can, and keep yourself always open towards me. And last, because I did mention Mohan Bhai, who just passed away 2 days back. And Desiree, his bhajans are so wonderful. And, you know, we have a prosperity chit in the ashram. Which means that, you know, we write whatever our requirements are to the mother. Soap, hair oil, things like that, material requirements. So Mohan Bhai didn't write any of these. He scratched it and wrote, said, Mother, I want more aspiration, more faith, something like that. I don't have the phone here, but she asked, more aspiration, more faith. And the mother writes below, blessings and grace. She sanctioned with blessings. That's how sadhana goes. Sadhana is not a mechanical something. God does not like this mechanical attitude. I have done half an hour of meditation, 2 hours of breathing exercises. He, who cares? He wants us to form a living relation with Him. We have to treat Him as living. Like one of those things, a few lines from Savitri. So one of those things where, for example, that, you know, in all these conferences, we have to take it that Mother is present. It's not like a picture which is there. And if I may add, when there is a time, so I personally take it like that. I have seen in Orissa people do like that. That they, first thing they do is after they write all the details of the conference, they offer it at the mother's feet and send also one to the mother in Sri Aurobindo Ashram, Pondicherry. And then why on time? Because she is waiting for us. Not, we don't need a bell. She is waiting for us. As simple as that. If the time is 9, then 9 she will be there. Dot on time. And there are instances like that. Mother came and she said, but you had not kept the stool. She knows that. So she will come. So when we treat the divine as a living presence, not as someone who is far away and difficult to please, difficult to contact, then he appears far. Mother says, it's your faith that does the miracle. She says, I am always with you. When you go down, I go down with you. I don't stand on the shore watching you. Then he says that it's your faith that does not only miracles, but as is your faith. There's something same which the Gita says. So she says, if you think and believe that the divine is far and cruel, then he will appear to you far and cruel because that is needed for your progress. But if you think he is near, very near, always with you, he will lift you 1,000 times if needed. If such is the faith, that the mother will not be annoyed. You know, it's she never gets annoyed, never gets angry. And there is a very nice line of Mirabhai Bhajan. She says, okay, I'll say in Hindi, then flavor many of us can probably understand, then the English. She says, Raja Rute Nagari Dwakhe. हरी रूठा कहाँ जासों मैं तो गोविंद के कुन कासु. She says that if the king is unhappy with me, okay, somebody in the city will keep me, hide me, I can go to some other city. But if Hari, the divine, he turns his face away from me, where will I go in this whole earth? And our divine mother says, my child, I never get angry. I'm never annoyed. So we are so, what shall I say? Fortunate word seems so small. Privileged appears so little. Gratitude appears, sinks in shame. What gratitude we can have? We can use the word, mother, I am grateful. What does it mean? Gratitude means something of us we give to Mother and Sri Aurobindo. Anything, time, energy, money, whatever thing we have, love, thoughts, something we give to them. That's the only way. And the highest way is to become a living example of their teachings. That may be a big calling, but at least. So I'll just read a few lines from Savitri, and then I have had some inspiration yesterday of how to close this part. Then the music will be there, of course, which I'll mention later. So all this is about the future. And he even goes on to say that this is ascertained. It's in Savitri book 11, that even if a hostile force clings to its reign and man does not consent, yet this will be done. That's the assurance they have given. This work does not depend now on anything. We can collaborate, we may not collaborate. That's our gain or loss, if you want to put it that way. But it doesn't depend upon us. So all this is there in Savitri. So just a few lines I'll read. And the whole logic is there. If you shall glimpse the miraculous origin, and some shall feel in you the secret force, and they shall turn to meet in nameless tread, adventurers into a mightier day, ascending out of the limiting breaths of mind, they shall discover the world's huge design and step into the truth, the right, the vast. These are the high forerunners, the heads of time, the great deliverers of earthbound mind, the high transfigurers of human clay, the firstborn of a new supernal race, overtopping this mechanical universe, a mightier, all then shall change, a magic order come. Overtopping this mechanical universe, a mightier race shall inhabit the mortal's world. On nature's luminous tops, on the spirit's ground, the Superman shall reign as king of life. Make earth almost the mate and peer of heaven, and lead towards God and truth man's ignorant heart, and lift towards Godhead its mortality. The mind shall be God vision's tabernacle, the body intuition's instrument, and life a channel for God's visible power. All earth shall be the spirit's manifest home, hidden no more by the body and the life, hidden no more by the mind's ignorance. An unerring hand shall shape event and act. (Clears throat) The frontiers of the ignorance shall recede. More and more souls shall enter into light. Minds lit, inspired, the occult summoner here, and lives blaze with a sudden inner flame, and hearts grow enamored of divine delight, and human wills tuned to the divine will. These separate selves the spirit's oneness feel. These senses of heavenly sense grow capable. The flesh and nerves of a strange, ethereal joy, and mortal bodies of immortality. A divine force shall flow through tissue and cell and take the charge of breath and speech and act, and all the thoughts shall be a glow of suns, and every feeling a celestial thrill. Thus shall the earth open to divinity, and common natures feel the wide uplift, illumine common acts with the spirit's ray, and meet the deity in common things. Nature shall live to manifest secret God. The spirit shall take up the human play. This earthly life become the life divine. So, we can close. Is that okay? Rather than have any question answers, I think we can close, right? So, my one request which I made to Vladimir before we have the closing music. Yesterday I felt inspired, but I thought we can do it here. Can we just have Om Anandamayi Chaitanyamayi Satyamayi Parami? And then just Ma, 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 Ma. Anyone can. Om Anandamayi Chaitanyamayi Satyamayi Parami Anandamayi Chaitanyamayi Satyamayi Parami Om Anandamayi Chaitanyamayi Satyamayi Parami Om Anandamayi Chaitanyamayi Satyamayi Parami Om Anandamayi Chaitanyamayi Satyamayi Parami Ma 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 Ma, Ma.